Let's pray here this morning. Oh, Jesus, we lift you up here this morning. We love you. And I just pray that you would give us ears to hear your word and you would open up our hearts, open up our minds. Lord, we don't want to just be going through the motions. Lord, we want to become more like you. Transform us for real. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. So Matthew 10:39 says this. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. So I just want to talk about that for a bit. Whoever tries to control his or her life, whoever tries to sit in the driver's seat and control everything, even though that's impossible, when you live life and you're trying to be the captain of your own ship, Jesus is saying that that is not the life you're looking for. Whoever loses his life or lays his life down or lets go of control of his life because of what they've seen and heard in Jesus, that's when you'll find who you really are and you'll find who God really is. So I want to share an experience with you. About, I don't know, how long have we lived here for? About 6 months or something. So when we used to drive out here, there used to be some interesting moments where I wasn't very Christian. And I remember this one particular time when we were driving to get to work. I don't know, it was always hard because we always tried to wake up early to beat the traffic. And one morning, we're driving to work and there's a bus lane, right? But it doesn't turn into a bus lane. So you can actually kind of cruise in the bus lane and it turns into a bus lane later on. Anyway, so I was like, yeah, I'll just take this lane, kind of get ahead a little bit. Great. And then we came to the traffic light, but I wasn't in the bus lane, just to make it clear. It was coming up to a bus lane and I was going to turn right and, you know, just get ahead a little bit. So anyway, we came to the light and we were backed up and I was just, you know, I think I was in a good mood. Was I? No? Okay. Maybe I was just like, this sucks, waking up really early. But anyway, a motorbike rode past and knocked on the window or something. And he swore at me. He was like, blank, fill it in however you want. And oh my goodness, I was raging. I was like, who does this guy think he is? Drive past and hit my car? I should have just opened the door and like, that's what I was thinking. And then, yeah, so wow, it was crazy. I got so enraged just by that one little thing. And then that was it. The rest of the car ride was apparently not so good. And I think Raina said something along the lines of, you totally overreacted. You probably should have just let that go. So, which is so true, right? And the reason I share things in my life is because it is so easy to gather on Sundays, and I hope you feel so welcomed and like you belong. And we can have great sermons, and which I hope are helpful and inspiring. But really, unless it helps us through the week, it's pretty pointless, right? Unless it affects the smallest of moments in our lives, and unless it affects the largest moments in our lives, then it's really us just going through the motions. So my desire, and I think most of our desire here, is to live in the smallest ordinary moments in our everyday life and be able to say to ourselves, you know what, I am frustrated, I'm agitated, I'm annoyed, I don't like Fortnite. But you know, I can let this go. I can let it go. It's no big deal. God is good and he's bigger than all of that. So we're going to look at, yeah. So what does it mean when Jesus says, lay down your life? What does it actually look like? And really the big picture is that we trust in him and we let go of our own control and we leave it there. Preaching done. I could go home now. But I'll continue. It's okay. But there's many stories in the Bible that illustrate this for us. And this morning I want to actually draw from John chapter 8. It's a very well-known chapter. It's about, if you don't know, it's about the woman who's caught in adultery, who is dragged before Jesus. Let's just read it. So if you've got your Bible, it's John chapter 8. It says this. Oh, it's on the screen. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. And as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus, oh, this is awesome. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. But they kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Awesome. So we're going to talk about this passage of Scripture. So out of this passage, I want to make a few observations about what this story can teach us about letting go in our lives, like letting go of the rocks. It's cool, right? So what are some of the things that we are being challenged to let go of? Now, let's back up into this story for a sec. Let's put ourselves in the story. Now, think about this. Jesus, he is in the middle of a very tender kind of moment. It says he was at the temple and he was teaching. So he sat down. That's a position of authority back in the day. So he was sitting down and he was teaching. Imagine what it must have been like to be sitting at the feet of Jesus in person, listening to him teach. He is the scripture. He is the Torah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Just imagine just sitting there at the feet of Jesus. That would be pretty awesome. So it's this amazing, beautiful moment, and it's dramatically interrupted. And some scholars have actually written a commentary like saying that they believe that Jesus was somewhat shocked in this moment. Have you ever stopped to think Jesus could be shocked? And he's in the middle of teaching people the truth, right? And in storm, teachers and Pharisees and holy men, and possibly even some from that very temple, and they drag a woman in. They drag a woman in who is most probably naked. They drag her into Jesus' Sunday service. And it's pretty shocking. If you think things get awkward sometimes in church, well, this is an absolute mess right now. Imagine that. Imagine someone's preaching, me or Peter or whatever, and someone just drags this woman in and like, oh my gosh, that would freak me out completely, right? And it's totally inappropriate and not okay, and it's shocking. Now, notice the difference between the scribes and the Pharisees and Jesus. See, the scribes and Pharisees are making really quick work of the moment. They are in a rush. They are ready to condemn this woman. They have got stones in their pockets. They've dragged her in. They're ready to kill her. They are moving really fast. And they come to Jesus and interrupt his teaching. And they're like, hey, according to Deuteronomy, this woman should be stoned to death. What do you say? They were pestering Jesus, a bit like the seagulls on Finding Nemo. Mate, what do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Sorry, it's a bit radical, but I've got to be. Now look at what Jesus does. He doesn't say, look, buddy, I'm in the middle of teaching right now. Get out of here. No, he's silent. Then something strange happens, right? He changes his posture. See, he's seated as he's teaching. Then he stands up as they interrupt. This is what the law says. What do you say? Jesus is silent. And then he stoops down and he starts to write in the dirt. So, I don't know about you, but most of the time I look like the guy with the rocks and not Jesus. but our goal is to become more like Jesus. So what is Jesus trying to display to us through this story? Yeah, so the first observation I'd like to make is this. When it comes to letting go of things in our lives, we need to let go of swift judgment. When it comes to letting go of things in our life, we need to let go of swift judgment. I mean, there has been a lot of speculation about what Jesus wrote in the dirt, but I'd actually like to make something of his posture. The way he slows down the scene. He does this so much that these guys who are in a hurry to pass judgment, that they're in a hurry to execute this woman. They want to kill her and fast, right? And Jesus slows it down. He slows it down so much that the Pharisees, they're becoming more agitated and they keep asking him, what do you say? What do you say? What do you say? When he slows down the scene. And I don't think we're supposed to know what he's writing in the dirt, but I think we're meant to know that he's slowing everything down. It's interesting because Jesus lives the scripture. He is the scripture, right? James chapter 1:19, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And a lot of people tell us, let go of judgment, but let's go a step further. Let's let go of swift judgment. Because who knows? Like our reputation as Christians, right? I mean, worldwide, it's like people are like Christians. Oh, they're so judgmental. They're so quick to judge. This is interesting. Like when I meet new people, or even when I've met school kids, and I let them know, oh, I'm a Christian. Man, they like change the way they act. They're like, oh, I'm not going to swear anymore. Oh, that guy's there. Like, because they think I'm judging them. Crazy, right? See, we can sometimes take on the persona of the scribes and the Pharisees who are swiftly judging this woman, and they have no consideration about her, and they're ready to kill her. And yeah, Jesus slows the whole thing down, and it's amazing. And who's in control there? It's Jesus. He's got this quiet confidence, and he knows the Father's will. Are we slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger? Or are we fast? Here's an indication that we're trying to control our lives. Is we pass with judgment. Do we talk too much? Do we let everyone know our opinion? Or do I get angry over some silly motorbike rider? Let it go. But God wants us to slow down because we're not in control. God is in control. One of my favorite movies, Nacho Libre, he always says, "Take it easy. Relax. Slow down. You're not the Messiah. You're not God, so just chill. You're not in control. Just draw a bit in the dirt. Breathe. Take a moment. Chill. Don't pass judgment." Which brings me to my second point, or my second observation, which is this. You ready for it? Let go of being right. And I think some of the reason we pass swift judgment is, well, what do we have to wait for? I'm right. I have the truth, for goodness sake. The guys with the rocks, think about it. They are quoting Deuteronomy accurately. It's actually in the scripture. And Jesus doesn't say, by the way, you guys are wrong. These guys had done their homework, right? And they would have had the Torah, which is like the first part of the Bible, memorized. And it's what Moses says in Deuteronomy. But Jesus doesn't say, no, that's not what the law says. See, they are right, aren't they, according to the law, but yet they're still so wrong, aren't they? See, sometimes we can be right according to what the scriptures say, but we can actually miss the whole spirit of it. See, Jesus summarized hundreds of laws into love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And these guys are quoting a law, which its spirit is love. Have you ever thought about why God made all these laws in the first place? Was he not giving us laws that would actually keep us from doing silly things? He loves us. And the Pharisees were using this law to execute a woman in front of people, most likely with no covering. She was thrown down there naked. And I wonder if sometimes we, as believers, are known for carrying the truth. We are ambassadors of truth. And because we have the truth, I wonder sometimes if we are so quick to speak because it's the truth. And sometimes because we have the truth, we think we can talk to anyone without hesitation. Yet the Bible teaches that we are to speak the truth in love. There would be a good place to say amen. Yeah, great. But let me say this. Do not speak the truth to people you do not love, because all they will hear is judgment and law. See, Jesus never spoke the truth to anyone he didn't love, because he loved all and he is love. So if you don't love someone, if you don't feel affection, empathy, concern, it's probably better just not to speak. And I'm not saying that, like, Jesus spoke strongly, but he still loved the Pharisees. And if you remember, there's that one rich young ruler, it's around Mark chapter 10, and it says Jesus looked at him and loved him. It's amazing. And Jesus always spoke the truth in love. And we have somehow told ourselves that truth is more important than love. And we have actually, we've lost the spirit of the law so we can carry out the scriptures and what it says in the Bible. And actually, if you think about Luke 9:55, the disciples were all fired up. They were like, you know, touring around Jerusalem with Jesus. And then they decided, oh, where did they go? They went somewhere else with the Samaritans or some other people, right? And they went to their city and no one showed up. No one showed up to see Jesus. They'd rather just hang out and have a coffee. They didn't really care. But the disciples knew they're hanging out with the living God. Like, this is Jesus. Like, you better like come and hear about Jesus. And actually it says the disciples turned to Jesus and said, oh, why don't we just call down fire and just burn up the city? And Jesus was like, he rebuked them and said, that is not the reason I have come. It's pretty interesting. So let go of being right. That's hard. That's really hard. I love being right. But I have to let it go. And I'm not going to speak truth into someone's life if I don't love them. So this leads me to my final observation. So to let go of swift judgment and to let go of being right, I think the reason we pass swift judgment and the reason we have to be right is because internally our heart condemns us. So we project. Because I feel guilty and wrong for my error and sin, I'm now going to find someone that's worse than me and I'm going to judge them, either privately, internally, or even publicly. And I'll do that because it makes me feel better. But we need to let go of using condemnation towards other people. And we also need to let go of accepting condemnation in our own hearts. And condemnation has a lot to do with our lifestyle, and it's the fight of faith to believe that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. See, these men with the rocks, they're full of condemnation. He who is without sin cast the first stone. Now, I don't think Jesus just means general sin. Deuteronomy actually tells us that you cannot execute someone for a sin that you yourself are struggling with. You have to be sinless in that area to proceed with the execution. So it's like he's almost saying, if you don't struggle morally, if you don't struggle sexually, then you throw the stone. So let's think about this for a sec. It says they caught her in the act. Now, a woman can do many things, right? But here's this, right? Here's one thing she can't do alone. She cannot commit adultery by herself. So I often think about, okay, they found her in the act. So how did they find her? Did they go around? Like, because think about this. Jerusalem, there was no phones. There was no, like, social media or anything. There was no electricity. And it was, like, the early morning. So they would have walked, I don't know, they might have walked around the city and, oh, I think it's them. Yeah, get him. Oh, it's not you. Oh, carry on. Next room. They were there. They caught her in the act. That means they were there. Maybe it was one of the Pharisees who did the setup, who committed the act with the woman. We don't know, but it's pretty interesting to think how they found the woman. And yeah, they did drop their rocks because they were condemned on the inside. They were guilty. And one of the giveaways of condemnation is when You're actually always conscious about your sins. Instead of being conscious about Jesus, your victory, Jesus, your forgiver, Jesus, your freedom, you're instead conscious of your sins. And you can live in the state of, oh, I got to get better at this, do better at that, find people who are worse so I can judge them. But 1 John 3 says, your heart will condemn you. But God is greater than your heart. Now, it's amazing what Jesus says to this woman. Where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? She says, there is none. Now, Jesus had every right to pick up a rock and throw it. Actually, not just at her, but also at the Pharisees and the scribes. But what is his response? He says, neither do I condemn you. From now on, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. They dropped their rocks one by one. And you know Jesus paid for our sins one by one, past, present, and future. And Romans 8:1 says this. I mean, I didn't get this, but this is, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. There is therefore now, which is pretty mind-blowing when you think about it. Maybe we don't feel too bad about the things we did weeks ago, you know, because time heals all. But hey, what about the things I did yesterday? Or my most recent sins? It's kind of interesting that no one tells you how the Lord just set them free yesterday. Because the sin's so recent, right? But Romans actually, it tells us that there is now no condemnation. So if we're in Christ, there is no condemnation. Think about this woman. She's like 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes removed from her sins. Neither do I condemn you. And we got to stop being so consumed by our sins because, yeah, I get it. We all sin and we stuff up, but we actually need to be so more conscious of Jesus. See, the power is not in sin consciousness, but it's in God consciousness. It's His victory, His power, and His authority. And we need to be preaching the good news that if God is that amazing, then why do we need to keep on sinning? And I don't know if this is controversial or anything, but anyway, I'll just say it. But I think if you're in the middle of sin or struggling with some sin, you can declare to yourself that there is no condemnation in Christ, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And the only way we are transformed is through the power of Jesus and Him alone. And it's not by might or by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And you know what else is really interesting? Like Romans 8, like in the early translations, it says that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ but walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. So actually the translators actually just put that part in because they could not believe that is true. But it's crazy. So Romans 8:1, it only works if we let go. I'm in the midst of error and sin, but God does not condemn me because He condemned His Son once and for all so that I can be accepted once and for all. And I'm accepted and righteous even in the midst of my sins because of Jesus. And when my heart condemns me, God is greater. What Jesus did on the cross is greater than my deeds. And may my life be defined by love and care and by compassion and empathy, a listening ear. May I be slow to speak and slow to become angry. We're called to become more like Jesus. So I'm just going to finish up and pray and might sing a song or something. But let go of swift judgment. Let go of being right. And let go of condemnation. So wonderful, Jesus. We just, you're so good, Lord. I just pray you'd touch hearts here this morning. Lord, anyone who's struggling with condemnation, Lord, I just pray you would touch their heart. Lord, I just thank you that you would help us to become more like you, or that we would be slow to speak and slow to get angry, and that we would have a listening ear, or that we would just spread the truth with your love. We just thank you so much, Jesus, and we love you, and we just pray that you would make us more like you, and that we would just love our community so much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.